you can be seated. Amen. I want you to take your Bibles with me and open to the book of Acts, el libro de Hechos, Acts chapter 3. And while you're turning there, let me give you a little story about the Super Bowl. So a friend of mine has two tickets for the 2017 Super Bowl. They are box seats, including airfare, hotel accommodations, 4-star. He didn't realize when he bought them that this is the same day as his wedding, so he can't go. If you're interested and want to go instead of him, the wedding is at St. Peter's Church in New York City at 5 p.m. Her name is Donna, and she'll be the one in the white dress. People do some crazy stuff for Super Bowl. Right now, they've spent the last 7 or 8 hours. They were up at 3 o'clock in the morning painting themselves, getting ready for, you know, the Atlantic Hawks. Man, I don't know what they call them. There's a nickname, right, for the Hawks? The Dirty Birds? Just the Dirty Birds. The Dirty South. All right. I know Pastor Jerome must be beside himself this morning. They're probably in church at the stadium. Amen. My good friend, Pastor Jerome. But people do some crazy stuff for it. I mean, you know, had my team been in there, you know, I'd probably be painted up right now or something. I have a star and all kinds of stuff. And we'd be having like a 17-minute service. You know what I mean? Come and make sure we got prayer and it's okay. You guys can leave now, you know. You don't got to go home, but you got to go, you know. People do some weird stuff on, you know, for football. It's just sad, huh, that we can't get people to gather like that for church. Huh? You know what I mean? It's what's crazy is that some people probably miss church today to get ready for the big party, and their team ain't even playing. Pastor Pat said about chicken wings. You know that today is the biggest chicken wing day. I forget how many millions of chicken wings are sold on Super Bowl Sunday. It's ridiculous. But I'm hoping those that are coming to my house are going to bring some chicken wings because I love me some chicken wings. There's a place that we used to go to in Kansas City. I remember it's called Wings and Things, huh? Mm-hmm. So today's about wings and football and competition and everybody's, you know. Our nation worships some crazy gods. Huh? I mean, think about it. When 9/11 happened, for the next couple of weeks, people, all the football players, everybody was in church. They thought the end of the world was coming. So everybody got to church. Everybody said, I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss God. They shut down the stadium. Can you imagine the silence? Imagine the mice in that stadium saying, we'll have no food tonight. It was quiet. You couldn't hear a pin drop because everybody was in church. And how quickly we go right back to our junk when everything gets good. And I think about our nation right now, the condition we're in. We're in a very lame condition. Division can bring some lameness, but that's not the only thing. We were lame way before division came. Let me tell you something right now. We're in a lame situation, man. I mean, think about it. I shared yesterday in the summit that over 500,000 overdoses, death overdoses in America in the last couple of years. Last year, actually, just 1 year. Just in one city, Indianapolis, Indiana, 31,000 opiate overdoses last year. That doesn't even sound right, Indianapolis. That's not a place. That's a place where you wouldn't think of that. You think about places like Rhode Island and places like, you know, like that. You don't think of that. But there are so many junkies in Rhode Island now. There's a need for the ministry of Victory Outreach is so widespread. The need for the church to rise up and do its job is so important right now. Let me tell you right now, in 1967, when God raised up this ministry, he knew exactly what he was doing. He knew that we would be rough for a long time. He knew that it would take a while to get not the roughness out of us, but he knew he'd have to sharpen it. You know, when you get a piece of wood and you sand that piece of wood to make it smooth, it takes a lot of effort to sand it down And when you sand it down, it's finally smooth. And so when you see us get up here and you see, like, Pat was an atheist. Like, if you've seen him when he first came in the home, he said, that guy ain't never going to be in the ministry. But he's smooth, ain't he? Praise the Lord. He's real smooth now. But we've been sanding him for 15 years. I had to get that 100-pound grit. What is the lower the grit, the bigger the sand is? Yeah, about like 60 pounds, 40 pounds. You know what I mean? Be smooth now. You got shine shoes. You know? Smooth like butter, man. Smooth. All these guys are smooth, you know? Eloquent. But not in the early days, it wasn't like that. You know, some of you have been around a while. You know what I'm talking about. You get up there, some people even cuss sometimes. I'm sorry. Blood of Jesus. Just, you know, people just, we don't, whatever you do, don't mistake our being polished for losing that edge. By all means. But, our country, this world, they need us. They need radical people, like in the book of Acts, like Peter and John. They need radical situations in front of their very eyes so they can see that God is still real, that God is still good. And I'm here to let you know and to declare to you this morning that God has commanded us. He's not just asking us. He has commanded us to rise up in this hour. The church of Jesus Christ will do more disservice to our country if we don't rise up than we've done in the last 100 years. Because the need is great. And it's no longer in the barrio nomás. It's not just in the hood, man. It is everywhere you look, man. There are kids, young people that never would have. You would have never thought they'd be in prison. You would have never thought they'd be all tipped up the way they are in different situations. Let me tell you why. Because the addiction, the drug addiction, the greed of addiction has now went all through all areas of our country. And it's in the fabric of everything. It's no longer just in those places where, you know, they always have been. So God has to raise up a fresh generation now. The generation, the pioneering generation, the Joshua generation, and even now the gang, the God's anointed now generation, they're moving on it. We have to begin to think strategically. We have to begin to realize and understand that America is in trouble, that we're lame, man. We're lame. We are messed up. And the church has to rise up. The church has to rise up and first of all pray. My goodness, man, our country's out of control right now. Everybody's losing their minds. Instead of everybody, the church should be rising up in this very moment. This is not the church's time to say, see, I told you. At all. It's the church's time to go out to the streets, to the highways, and to the byways. Listen, we know Jesus is coming soon, so what are we doing sitting around in our churches? Man, I feel like I'm preaching to pastors over here. All pastors. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Something was being established that had been told by the Master. Jesus had said, I want you to wait right here until power comes upon you. And when it does, he says, then I want you to go be my witnesses. He had told them, whatever you do, when it comes upon you, go ye into all the world. Preach, teach, disciple, baptize them. And here in chapter 3, we've seen the power of God has come over the disciples. The church has started to grow. Already there was already 3,000 people got saved in Peter's first message. Man, the Spirit of God was moving. Can you imagine the movement? When a revival takes place, there is something that happens. There is something that happens in that revival that everybody knows there's revival. And I am believing, we're believing in New Mexico. We're believing in New Mexico Praise that revival's coming. When the great revival, the next great revival comes, let me tell you what's going to happen in the next great revival. There are going to be mind-blowing circumstances. People that never believed in God. Atheists. I'm talking about leaders that are leading movements against Christianity. I'm talking about people like that. You know what? When God saved a bunch of us, we were radical people. He had to save radical people so people could believe, right? Well, guess what? There's some crazy stuff about to happen in the revival that's coming. And when it comes, don't think it's strange to say, the Bible said it was going to happen. Now, here in chapter 3, the church has started to move. There's already a buzzword around. These people, these Christians, they're on fire. They're excited. Man, were you at the meeting the other day? Man, 3,000 people got saved. Wow. And now the things are starting to explode and things are starting to happen. And so Peter and John, about their business, they're walking into the temple. The Bible says in verse 1 of chapter 3, the book of Acts, it says, now Peter and John went up together to the temple of the hour of prayer in the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame, everybody say lame, from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask for alms from those who entered the temple. You know what he was doing? He had a sign out there saying, man, can you help a brother out, man? Por favor, come on, I need some, just put some money in the can, man. Come on, you know you got some money. Anybody ever approached anybody like that? I'm not going to ask you if you've ever approached somebody. I'm just going to ask you if you've ever been approached like that. There may be a one or two in here that might say, yeah, you should see my little movement. I had a good little thing going. Like $300 a day, whatever. But have you ever been approached like that? Hey, man, I'm going to be honest, man. I'm going to get high. I've had people tell me like that. I'm going to be honest, brother. I just want to go drink. I'm like, really? I said, I'm going to be honest with you right now. I'm going to lay hands on you and say, you're not going to want to drink no more. Oh, don't. No, no, no. You know. But this guy's out there asking, and you got to remember, this guy's not just a newbie. He's been doing this all his life. We're going to read him. He's been out there asking for alms. That was his livelihood. But it wasn't just his livelihood. It was his family's livelihood. Because you know how it is. If your family's got a good thing, everybody gets blessed. So it says like this. He says, so who seen Peter and John about to go into the temple said, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said this, look at us. Look at us. Look. So he gave them his attention. You know what that means? That means he was completely, from all of the distractions, he just looked at Peter. Because he was probably like, hey, can I get something? Hey, there's another person walking. Hey, can I get something real quick? And just looking around all the time. And he says, so he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. You can imagine most of the people just walked by and threw a denarii in there or threw something in there like that or just walked by them and didn't say do anything. But if you know anything about Jewish tradition of that day, there was some things that you wanted people to know about you. You wanted people to know in your dignity as a Jew of that day that you went to the temple at the right time, that you always gave a little bit to alms to the poor, and that you always, that's why Jesus said, make sure you pray in the closet. Because, you know, they wanted to be known that they were praying. So three things they wanted people to know. That they were going to temple. That they were giving some more. So everybody would just drop a little thing inside there and just drop it in. But this time somebody looked at, hey, look at me. Look, perfecto, look at me, he says. He looked at him and he stood attention like, what's up? Can you imagine the eyes of Peter? Peter, under the anointing that Peter was under, can you imagine the way he just looked at him? He could see into his soul. He could see him so much he could see his sin. Pastor Tom told us, we were preaching, and he goes, man, he goes, I'm in the spirit so much, I can see so much that I can see your sin. But look at this. He says, so we gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said this. Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. What this man was expecting was a few quarters, you know, a couple of dollars, a five spot. He was expecting something from him. And when they said, look at us, he probably thought to himself, he's just like the other religious folks. He's probably just wanting to make sure I know that he's going to give me a 10 instead of just a couple of little pennies. Huh? But instead, he says, I got some money. I could give you money. I could give you some food. I could give you something. But that's not what I got to give you. What I got to give you is greater than silver and gold. He says, silver and gold I don't have, but what I do got, what I do have. In other words, he says, I've been in the presence of Almighty God, and what I have is rise up and walk. Rise up in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Verse 10 says, then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Somebody better shout and say hallelujah. Oof. Think about this man. Think about this man's life. Think about him. Everybody knew who he was. Everybody knew him. The Bible says when they saw him, imagine those that heard from inside the temple that had already passed him by, that passed him by every single day. Imagine how they must have ran outside and say, what's going on outside? And all of a sudden they saw this guy that they have seen for all their lives growing up. He was dragged, was carried to the gate every morning by his brothers and sisters. His parents said, make sure you smile. Make sure you cover up that missing tooth. Make sure that you're looking good. Make sure you're looking just dirty enough. Make sure you look lame enough. Because we have some extra needs. The water bill's up a little bit. The P&M bill's a little bit. We need you to look a little bit. We need more money today. So son, make sure you put that good face on. They all knew him. The whole city knew him. The rabbi knew him. The religious folks knew him. The widows knew him. Everybody knew this man. But all of a sudden, the Bible says, they all saw him. And they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement. Let me tell you what happens when you get on fire. When you get on fire and you walk into your job, I'll never forget the first day I walked into the firehouse. I had gotten saved on that Thanksgiving morning. And a couple of days, I had been on vacation for a few days. But that next few days when I walked into the house, there was something in my eyes that was different. I didn't look like I had been on one. I hadn't been on a binge. I wasn't all crudo. I wasn't all there. Hey, anybody got any aspirins? Or I didn't run right to the bunk room right away and tell the guys, please cover my duties, man. I've had an all-nighter last night, guys, man. I'll cover you next time, because they were the same way. They knew something was different. I walked to the house with a look on my eye. I look in that house. I said, you know what? This is what I did. I went straight to my locker room. I went to my locker and I started emptying things out of that locker that didn't belong in my life. I started taking things out. My wife didn't have to tell me to do it. The Bible didn't say to do it. My dad didn't say, son, now that you're saved, you got to go start. None of that stuff. I just went to my locker. I knew what I had in my locker. I knew it was locked up that nobody else knew was in there. I had to go and just do it because there was something inside of me that said to do it. They knew something was different. Those guys looked at me and said, ooh. Do you have some kind of retreat or something? You know how they knew when they really knew? When they really, really knew is when I got up and I started picking up their dishes. Because they were just sitting there, you know. You know. I got to pick up their dishes. Hey, I'll get that for you. I'll get that for you. And they're like. It didn't take long for them. The amazement, see, started to wear out. After about a month or two or three, it started. The amazement wore out on him. Not because I wasn't doing my job, not because I wasn't trying to, you know, preach or be witness to them. It's just that they didn't want to hear what I had to say, so they started worrying out a little bit. But let me tell you something right now, that they never forgot the transformation of Danny. They knew something happened. They all knew me. They knew what I was about, what I did, what I didn't do. And they knew that I was leaping and jumping. I was no longer lame like I'd been. They knew it. They all knew it. They were telling everybody about it. Then they started going to the other route. Because, you know, after this right here, the movement of God, then persecution came. Once everybody starts going, the persecution comes. And you know that's why some of you don't want to witness at your job. You read the Bible, and you're not dumb. You say, well, if I start telling about Jesus, they're going to start persecuting me. So, they persecute you anyway. They just do it on Facebook now. They don't say your name, but, they, you know, it's for you. Now, what am I trying to say here? This, the word rise up here in the New Testament means increase. And then the word walk, he says, rise up and, he says, walk means to leave a position to another, and it means progress. So what Peter and John were saying to this man, I like to call him Perfecto. I like to say this, that this man, when he looked in their eyes and he said, I ain't got no money to give you. All what I got is I got in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. What he was saying is, he was saying, what I have to give you is I have to give you increase and progress. I want you from, you're not going to be poor no more. You're not going to be lame anymore. In fact, you've been sitting in the same place so long, you think that's where you belong. Some of you this morning, you've been sitting in the same place so long, you think that's where you belong. But I'm here to declare to you and let you know that increase and progress is coming to you. 2017 is no longer going to be a year where you sit in the same place and be the same old way. God is saying, no, no, no. What I have for you is I have increase. What I have for you is progress. And when I give you increase in progress, it's not just going to bless you. It's going to bless your household. It's going to bless those that you work with. Some of you can't handle that. You see, God is challenging us to rise up in 2017 more than just rise up. He's saying, I want to give you increase. When you rise up and walk, that means there's got to be something beyond that. You don't just rise up and walk. Walk where? The Bible says he began to leap. Now let me talk about what hindered this man from rising up. Do you see? The Spirit of God's always there. Why didn't he do this on his own? You know why? Because somebody, all somebody needs sometime is just a hand. Just one hand will do wonders for everybody. When was the last time you extended your hand and said, let me help you? Listen, do you remember the time when somebody said, and you reached up your hand? Listen, don't ever forget, they reached their hand down to you. Don't forget to reach your hand down to somebody else. And maybe you don't need to do it standing up. Maybe you need to get down right where somebody's at. I believe that when Peter looked at that man, I believe with all of my heart that he didn't say, oh, well, you're down. I believe Peter must have got down right here and said, listen, brother, listen, let me speak in your ear. He goes, silver and gold, look at me close right here. Silver and gold I may not have, but what I do have in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, come on, grab my hand, come on, in the name of, rise up and walk. And I believe he began to rise up. I believe he began to, as he began to leap around and everybody saw him jumping around, they looked at his legs. They looked at him. They looked at his legs. They looked at him. They said, whoa. Now, what had hindered this man from rising up before that? What hinders you from rising up? Number one is his condition. He was in a, had a valid condition since he was young, all his life. What does the Bible say? A certain man lame from his mother's womb. So they must have been carrying him. He was probably a real cute kid. He probably carried him over there and they just sit there with him, the mom. And legs. They probably bless him. As he got older and he wasn't as cute anymore, Possibly they only gave little bits to him. You know, little just token gifts. Think about his condition. He had a condition that rendered him completely helpless. Imagine this kid, all his life, that's all he knew. And from one moment to the next, that's all he knew. From the very from just a split second, he went from never walking to jumping. You ain't gonna care. He went from never ever walking, man, to jumping around. That's heavy. That's increase. That's progress. Second thing that he had, the thing that hindered him from rising up, is his mentality. His thought process. Some of you already, you made up your mind a long time ago. You're always going to be poor. You ain't never going to have nothing. You're never going to be nothing. Then we get up here and try to preach to you and say, one of these days, God's going to raise you up. And like, not me. Why would anybody want to raise me up? You don't know my name. You don't know what I've done. I'm horrible. Well, thank God that God doesn't call the qualified. He usually qualifies the call. Thank God that he uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. If he didn't do it, where would we be? His mentality, his thought patterns, the way he thought. The Bible says we are put the mind of Christ on. What is the mind of Christ? Increase in progress. What is the mind of Christ? Caring for people. What is the mind of Christ? Love and compassion and mercy. Listen, when we put that on, when we put on Christ, when we put on the mind of Christ, and we're thinking of the things above and not the things below, let me tell you something right now. Anything is possible. For what is impossible with man is possible. Possible for God. Third thing that he had is he had limitations. Not only, I know the conditions sound like that, but his limitations. Many of us are limited in the way we think, limited in the way we do things. Listen, you may not be the best at some certain trade. You may be limited in that area. But think about this. When somebody is blind, I don't know if there's anybody blind in here or legally, but my mother-in-law is legally blind. But that woman can hear a block away. What did you guys say? I remember me and my father-in-law, Ernie, El Indio, from Dogtown, Martinez Town. He's a hardcore man guy. One of the most hardcore guys I've ever known. And he would tell me like that. And I'd say, yeah, let's go. And she would do this. What? I'd be like, I didn't believe Barb. I did not believe my wife. This woman could hear through the walls. You know why? Because she may have been limited in one area. But it's a known thing that when you're blind, you have your other senses enhance. And yeah, this guy might have been lame, and he might have been lame, but I guarantee you this guy had some gifting that nobody knew about. He had some things inside of him that nobody knew about. He just didn't use them because of his mentality, his thought pattern says, if I try to use them, nobody will hear me or nobody will listen to me. Well, I'm here to declare to you here this morning that if you'll rise up, God will bring increase and progress to you, and those that never would hear you are going to run to you, because you'll be the lender and not the borrower from now on. You'll be the head and not the tail from now on. Limitations, man. It's a known fact that when you climb the mount like Everest and all these high mountains, it is a known fact that if you're not prepared physically, you know, Porky, he runs a lot. He ran this morning. How many miles did you run this morning? Just 5? Should have called me, brother. We could have done 10. Don't be lying on the pulpit, man. But you, in order to run, he's going to run a marathon, right? You're running a marathon soon? How many miles is that? 26. Might as well be 100 for me. I'm going to run 100 miles, yes. Dying anyway, no matter what, at the end of 2 or 3. So, but 26, that's a lot of miles. In order to run 26 miles in a marathon, in order to climb Mount Everest, you have to have a certain oxygen level. Your body has to be in shape, or else you won't make it. And so they say that when the men who climb Mount Everest, many of them get frostbitten, their fingers and their toes fall off because it's so cold up there. But not just so much that, their oxygen levels go so low that the blood doesn't circulate properly. You have to be in a certain shape to get up there. And let me tell you something right now. You'd be surprised at what you can do when you push yourself. But it has to start off right here. Guess what else? Sin starts right there. If you push yourself with God, it'll start here and it'll fall in here. And I'm not, this morning, I hope I'm not speaking to here, because my mentality is not to speak to here. My hope is to start here. But you have to start right here by understanding, being cognitive. So I can give you a word, you know, some kind of vocabulary. You got to be cognitive, and you got, you know, clarity and everything. You have to have understanding. And when you do, it should fall into here. That's what sin does. Sin starts in the mind. That's why the battlefield of the mind, you have to fight. You have to fight in the mind. You have to cast down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. You have to continually say no in the name of Jesus, no. Some of you girls, man, when a guy says something nice to you and you're like lonely or whatever, don't fall for that stuff, man. That guy ain't even a good player. He got old stuff, and you're falling for old stuff. Cast it down. See? Come on, brother. Get a job. Get a job. Get a job and buy a house and a car and pay your alimony and come talk to me about 2-3 years. Maybe. I have faith, you know. Brothers, man. Come on, brothers. Still falling for the same okie doke you've been falling for the last 20 years? She said she loved me, Pastor. Takes you out, gets you out of God and out of the church. That's because you have limitations. You don't know how to fight here. Your mind is always, it just plays with you, you know. That's why some of you got to get off that, some of that, all that stuff. Some of that social media is going to kill you. It's just, you know, man, sometimes I get on our church Facebook sometimes and I'm like, really? Really? Oh, my God, it's been an hour. So if I rebuke that in the name of Jesus, get away from me. You know, he should have never given me that code to the Facebook, man. Limitations, man. Let's get the limitations off. See, rising up, when you rise up, you take limits off. So this year, we're gonna rise up, and guess what's going to happen? Our conditions are going to change. Our mentality is going to change. Our limitations are going to fall off. And then the next thing that happens is that this guy's faith began to grow. See, he didn't have enough faith. He had enough faith to ask for some money, that he gets some money. You know how it is. Some of you, you know what I'm talking about. Every day, you got to fix no matter how. You got it. How you going to get it? I don't know, but I'm going to get it. You'll see. You'll see. I know my dad, with 24 years, he got to fix every day of his life. He never went without. You know, one of the things that really blows my mind is how we can have faith for so many other things, and we will not have faith for God, faith for the things of God. We have faith, man. We're going to do it. And then all of a sudden, you're like, comes up, well, you know, we want to believe God. I can't believe God. Well, come on. Reach back for a minute, man. See? Faith. I believe that when we rise up in faith, the bigger and better things are going to begin to happen. Our families are going to begin to experience greater miracles. We're going to see more salvations. We're going to see deliverance. I know the Bible says in the last days many will fall away. We're in the last days. A lot of people are going to be falling away. But I'm here to let you know there's also going to be a revival. There's going to be a lot of people. You are going to see drug connections saved like never before. You're going to see gang leaders saved like never before. You are going to see men who are running and calling shots are going to get saved. And then they're not just going to be quiet about it. They're going to reach to the mountaintop. And when they get a hold of God and get discipled by some of you, you're going to see the hand of God move like we haven't ever seen it. That's coming. That's called increase. That's called progress. And that's called faith to believe it. Now, my question to you, if you'll come to the keyboard. What's hindering you? Is it your condition? What's hindering you? I see blind people at airports, and like a little fear comes over me. Saying to myself, what if you're blind? How do they do that? Walking down streets with a backpack, laptop in the back, phone. Down the street, I'm like, oh my God, I think, my God, how do they do that? Could you do that? You know, they don't let nothing hinder them. Nothing. They just still, I won't get out there. I'm going to do what I got to do. Yet we, for the smallest things, we allow things to hinder us. What is hindering you this morning? What is it? God wants you to rise up above your circumstance. God wants you to rise up in your marriage. That's why you sign up for the marriage rendezvous. That's going to be fun. Who knows? Sister Barbara might even sing to me. You never know. She might just, God might put a song in her heart. I do love you, I love you, I love you. Ooh, ooh. Oh. I'm trying to get some signups, man. So, ain't got zero signups right there, so I might start seeing them to do something. Okay, we're going to pull out some dirty laundry, guys, from our past. Maybe sign up there. I want to say this. Whatever's hindering you, don't think it's strange because you're not alone. All of us have things that try to hinder us. As a pastor, there are things that have hindered me from going to new levels. But when I start hitting against the roof like that, what I do is I just crawl up as high as I can and start unbuckling the lid. And that takes prayer. That takes hearing my pastor. That takes reading new books, listening to other messages, and what happens is the lid comes off, and then I pick my head up and say, oh, my God, bro, I haven't seen this before. That's why I do it. I'm just teaching you how to do it. Rise up. Rise up above your situation. I'm like, I can't do this. Well, I know you can't do that. That's the good thing about it, that God will be doing it. You know, I think we right now, Pastor Joe, we have more prison volunteers than we've ever had. I'm amazed. That doesn't mean we don't need more. Because we go to how many facilities? 12 facilities. How many facilities are there? 20? 25? So that means we need more. I see our young people in the streets preaching the gospel to hardcore people. They don't have no fear. Young people say, let me pray with you. And the guys are looking at them like, really? Rising up. What is hindering you from rising up? See, here Luke records the miracle of healing of the lame man from his birth at the first event after Pentecost. He had preached, but there hadn't been anything like this. Peter's first healing, miraculous healing after Pentecost. He preaches and 3,000 people get saved. Doesn't say they get healed and get saved. And he comes to the temple and bam, a biggie, a trophy of God's grace. Not a little miracle, big miracle, because the whole city knew perfecto. They knew that he had been since his mother's womb. He had came out lame. He couldn't walk. And now he gets healed. The very first miracle was a big miracle. What about your miracle? Remember the first miracle God did for you? I don't know where you're at. You may be in a jail cell. You might have been on a street corner. You might have been in a church service. You might have been at your mom's house or in a Bible study. You might have been alone, as I was, in a little bathroom, lost, hurting, broken, prideful. And God's come and rescued me. That was the first miracle he did. But then he began to heal. See, the healing of this man opened the door for Peter to preach his second message. His first message reached 3,000 people. The second one went deeper. What was it that Peter and John really had that were willing to give this man? Two things, really. First, they had Jesus. My God, what more do you need? Here it is, in the name of Jesus, this man would receive it. And the second thing that Peter had was he had healing. Namely, we got to be very, very clear here. Listen to this. I don't want you to miss this. Because Peter was not all powerful. Peter had all power. That's a big difference. He wasn't powerful. He had power inside of him. Jesus was powerful through him. See, listen. It's not Peter and John who heal this man. But from the throne room of heaven, Jesus Christ heals this man. They came for prayer. They came with witness. And they came with faith. Let me show you this. It's so important. You have to understand this. In our initial passage, we are not told the behind-the-scenes details. But when Peter explains the account a little bit later on, he knew he didn't heal anybody. What they had was faith. His faith and the faith when he says, look at me. Give me your hand. That guy could have said, why? I'm not going to go nowhere. I'm not going to walk by you. Could it be today? I'm sure he was looking. Why was he at the Gate Beautiful? Why wasn't he down at the market? They have money down at the market. Was he just maybe working on the emotions of the church folks? I don't know. I believe he was there maybe if I get lucky. Get a miracle. Look at Acts chapter 3 verse 12 says, and when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? And Jesus healed him, even gave him faith to be healed. Verse 16, he says, and his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given this man his perfect health in the presence of you all. Do you understand what Peter was saying? By faith in the name of Jesus, given by Jesus, who has given this man perfect health. Jesus gave him the faith and gave him the health that he needed. He believed in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, what I do have in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, give me your hand. Rise up and walk. And what did he do? He made an attempt to rise up. Listen, all God is asking for you to do this morning is to make an attempt to rise up. Don't sit there anymore. Listen, your mentality that's kept you where you're at right there, you're saying God could never use me or I'm all washed up. I'll never ever get. Let me tell you about never ever. Never say ever when it comes to God, because God always has you on his mind. Peter adamantly opposed the idea that it was in any way his doing or John's doing. He said God healed this man. He'd opened the door for a second message to let him know what you saw right now was not us. What you see in the ministry of Victory Outreach is not Victory Outreach homes. It's not the inner city home. It's not Pastor Danny. It's not none of the pastors or any of the leaders. It is Jesus Christ that transforms the man and the woman. And when you get a hold of that, you'll start saying, I may not like the way he looks or she looks, but oh, something they got there at Victory Outreach is they got Jesus and they got healing, not in their own, but Jesus through them. Oh, somebody better shout. Beloved, by ourselves, we could never produce any kind of faith on our own. That'd be required for anything. But when God is in us, his goodness gives us the gift of salvation, but includes the gift of faith. What is your condition this morning? What is your mentality this morning? You need a mind shift. What is your limitation? Give your limitation to God and watch God take you to the highest places. What is the condition of your faith? What is hindering you? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads all over this place. Nobody looking, walking around. If you're here this morning, two things I want to ask. If you're here and you don't know this Jesus that I've been talking about all morning, the one we've been singing to, the one we gave to earlier. If you don't know Jesus, let me introduce you to him. Let me introduce you to him. Let me give you a quick 30-second course. That's how quick you can get in his presence. Just, it don't take long just to invite him in if you don't know him. If you don't know him and you want me to pray for you, say, Pastor, I really want to serve the Lord. I want to begin a brand new life because I cannot stay where in the condition I'm in no more. If that's you, I want you to lift your hand right now. Come on. Just lift it. And if you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I used to walk with God. I walked with him. I know about him. I know that scripture, right? That's one of my favorite. I know Acts. But somehow I became limited. My mentality changed. And I ran away from God. And I feel so embarrassed. I'm so full of guilt. But I'm here to let you know, God, this is a guilt-free zone. I'm here to let you know that God is an expert in removing guilt and shame and replacing it with love and dignity and grace and mercy. If that's you here this morning, say, Pastor, I'm not one you're talking about. I want you to lift your hand right now quickly. Just say, I want you to pray for me, Pastor. I need Jesus. And lastly, this morning, if you say, Pastor, I'm saved. I'm in church. I have a Bible. I pray, but I have limitations. My conditions are rendering me helpless. I don't know what to do, Pastor, because my mentality and my limitation and my faith has shrunk. And there's things that are hindering me, but I'm ready to make a change. I'm ready for increase in 2017. I'm ready for multiplication of my finances. I'm ready for once in my life to get above water, not just in my finances, but in my marriage. I'm ready to get above water in my life, in my family. Enough is enough. I hear what you're saying. I feel the presence of God in this place, and I'm ready to get rid of the hindrances. I'm ready to rise up and walk. And this morning, I say, I have silver and gold. I do not have Victory Outreach Albuquerque, but what I do have is in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up this morning and walk down to this altar this morning as they play this song and say, I'm getting rid of my limitations. Today, I'm going to change my mentality. Today, my conditions are going to get under my feet. I am no longer going to succumb to the condition that the devil has placed on me. But I am going to stand in the face of adversity. I want to stand in the face of my enemies. Oh! Let faith arise.